Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's cast, How to Build a Network, Part 1 of 2.
This cast answers these questions. Why do I need a professional network? Who should be in my professional network? And how do I maintain my professional network?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Struggling to stand out in interviews? Most professionals don't realize they can prepare for almost every question. With any of our licenses, you'll have access to our interview series and you'll learn exactly how to prepare, answer, and impress, so you land the job that you want. Visit manager-tools.com/licenses for more. All right, Mark. Exciting topic today, how to build a network.
Arguably the most important career tools cast we ever did.
Yeah. Folks, we put this content out initially back in, I think, May of 2006. And we're coming back again, one of those ones where we're going to brush it off, dust it off, and re-record it for our audience today.
Yeah. It's been downloaded millions of times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think the reason for that, Mark, the reason of its import is, no matter your stage of career, all individuals must take responsibility for managing their own career. No matter what role, what stage you are in your development, you cannot assume that someone else, your organization, for example, is managing your career. Now, that used to happen back in the olden days, exactly. And those days are long, long gone. You, friends, are managing your own career. What you do, not only in job skills, but also what we call transition skills, will be the primary determinant of your career success. You're not going to have the richest, most rewarding series of roles and opportunities if you leave all of the control over that to someone in human resources to know enough about how to get you where you need to be. And frankly, succession planning is not going to help you either. So you need to start taking some control back.
And when we're talking about transition skills, I think the most important is building and maintaining your network. Most people are terrible at it. We know this because they have no network. If you're just starting your career, and so you're listening to Career Tools, and you think that more senior people are inherently better at you than this, you're wrong. They're not. We just did a podcast called The Black Widow Mistake, which is, as people climb up the ladder, they narrow their focus to internal things at their organization, and they don't realize that the responsibilities are growing much more externally. Executives spend a lot more time thinking about what's going on outside the organization. And so they let their external network wither if they ever had one to begin with, and they haven't stayed in touch with them. And then, and most people don't know this, but executives are fired at a much higher rate than individual contributors or managers, and they get fired or they get laid off. We've certainly seen that in 2025. And suddenly they're without an external network and they panic. And they have to take a part-time job just to help with paying some of their bills. And it's all because they didn't start now, in a time in the world, by the way, where it's super easy to stay in touch.
Oh, absolutely.
Not hard.
So much technology to support you in doing that, folks.
Right. You have no excuse. And when I started, I knew my West Point classmates' parents' home phone numbers. That's it.
Yeah. And you started from there. And that's a lot. And folks, we're not just in this podcast suggesting the building of a network. Networks take more than building. They also take a little bit of maintenance, but I do not want to stress this enough, but it takes three simple skills to build and maintain a network. Don't think that this is some big, laborious process that you're going to have to undertake, and it's going to be so time-consuming and difficult. It's just not that way. We've got three simple skills to give you today.
Now, notice something, folks. We did not say the skill was networking, okay? This episode, this podcast, our guidance is not about networking. We're not going to try to turn you into a bunch of cocktail party homing missiles or bar tab billing storytellers, nor do you want us to, okay? We know that many of you, if not most of you, sort of detest the idea of marketing yourself or going around to cocktail parties and asking people what they do and then, you know, making connection you stay in touch with, because they might be able to do something for you. There are people like that, and they're creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like want them. You to be that person. No. Okay. We actually have an entire podcast called Building a Network for Those Who Hate Networking.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's how much people detest this activity.
And for the record, you know, I'm one of the founders of the company. I've been doing career tools and manager tools and now executive tools for over 20 years. And I hate networking. And I have a fantastic Rolodex.
I love that you said Rolodex.
Yeah, exactly. I want to date myself appropriately.
Yeah, I know, folks. A Rolodex was this thing that kept a bunch of business cards in it.
Oh, not business cards necessarily. I never used business cards. I hand wrote things. But regardless, hey, the greatest networker of all, the great guy with the greatest network, at least in America, is David Rockefeller, who had filing cabinets and two staffers that were keeping track of everything in the filing cabinet. But one of the worst things that happened for careers once HR, this is in the 70s, and companies generally started to abdicate their responsibility for managing careers. Don't get me wrong, when I use the word abdicate, I'm not suggesting I disagreed with it. It is a net better world for you to be in, to be managing your own career, okay? Because your company is not going to help you move to a competitor if that's closer to your parents, okay? They're not going to do that, and you're stuck in a company. It's like baseball before free agency, or heck, probably football before free agency, although baseball is what made it famous. One of the worst things that ever happened to the need for professionals to build a network was actually networking events, because, you know, chambers of commerce hold them, trade associations hold them. They actually have networking events at conferences and so on. And they're terrible. And everybody's trying to meet people who can do things for them. And folks, that doesn't work. You'll ruin your career doing
it's
that.
A cold, selfish place. So all that to say, this episode today is about building and maintaining your network. And we've got a ton more podcast episodes about networks and connecting. And you can find them all on our website, manager-tools.com. But because this is a cast that was, again, originally released back in 2006, this is our core networking guidance, the place from where all of those other podcasts begin. And we're going to start by sharing those three simple techniques for building and maintaining your network. It all starts here.
Okay, here's our outline. Number one, we're going to talk about some principles and guidelines. We're going to tell the story of the ant and the grasshopper. I tell this story a lot, and the people who win in careers are the ant, and the people who lose are the grasshopper. We're going to talk about why corporate structure demands it and how the best networks are highly diversified. And proximity helps you, but in the long run, you won't win with proximity only. You also have to be careful about similarity. And there are a lot of different ways to categorize networks, and we'll talk about those. The rules of network building are simple. Rule number one is build volume indiscriminately. Rule number two, give, give, give. And as I like to add on, and give some more until it hurts, and then give again. And rule number three is stay in touch with, which used to be in Outlook Control Shift K, but is not anymore.
All right. So we are going to start with the principles and guidelines that are important to think about when you are building your network. Now, y'all know us for the actionable stuff. And this piece of our guidance, the principles and guidelines section, isn't going to be things that you can do so much as helpful things that you want to remind yourself of periodically that will help you down the road in your network building skills. So we're going to go through those principles and guidelines first, because they're important to keep in your mind as we then think about network building. Starting with the ant and the grasshopper. And this is your story, Mark, so I don't want to steal the food from your fridge on this one.
Yes, it's my favorite. It's the Aesop fable, right? It's like the wolf and the sour grapes, right? The ant was industrious, worked hard all spring and summer to build his house and lay in stores for the winter. Just like you should be living on less of your salary. You shouldn't be always putting money on your credit card every month to get by. You just have to cut back. And so the ant was gathering more than he needed for today. And the grasshopper hung out and sang and whiled away the hours, fiddling, generally having fun while being ineffective, eating enough to get by day to day. When winter came and there were no stores on the ground, the ant was fine. and the grasshopper look forward to a miserable, cold, and certain death.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, and oh gosh, there are places that they change this and say, the ant took the grasshopper in and everything was okay. Just for the record, ants wouldn't do that. Actually, they'd probably, some ants would eat the grasshopper. Look, lucky me, he died because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Basically, the lesson here, folks, it's obvious. You build it now to use it later. And actually using it has two parts, helping other people and them helping you. Most people's inability to prepare for their own retirement stems from this same root cause. We call it the grasshopper gene of living small, as our friend Dan McGuire would say, and saving so that you can get through a hard patch. And when you get laid off, when you miss that sure thing promotion, when, I don't know, your spouse decides you need to move to be closer to your kids' grandparents, either you'll be the ant or you'll be the grasshopper. And 90% of the people we talk to, frankly, are grasshoppers. They're not ready. We know executives who make $1 million a year who they lose their job and lay off or restructuring or whatever, and they don't have 6 months, 9 months, a year saved up, which we talk about in another cast, obviously.
We do. And we used to recommend constantly, or I should say regularly, 6 months in the bank. And we recently extended that, didn't we, Mark? We increased it to having a year's worth of salary in the bank.
Yeah. And if you're thinking that's hard, it's hard. And there's a great video by the Duke women's basketball coach. And all you have to do is Google it. Its title is Handle Hard Better. And basically she's talking to her team and she says, you know, everybody thinks it'll get easier when I make the team. It'll get easier when we win that championship. It'll be easier when we get out of practicing and go into play and so on. And she said, no, it won't get easier. It'll get harder. Every time you improve your game, you'll be playing against harder people and the competition will get better. It's not a matter of praying for it to get easier. It's a matter of learning how to handle hard better. And the way you handle hard better in the future is you learn to handle it now.
Yeah. The sooner the better.
Yeah.
Attention managers and aspiring leaders, on September 23rd and 24th, join us in Atlanta for an in-person training designed to help you communicate more effectively, lead with confidence, and handle tough conversations with your team. This hands-on program delivers practical strategies you can use immediately to strengthen your leadership and drive results. Visit us online today at manager-tools.com/training. Okay, so that's through our fable into corporate structure demands it. Now, folks, 30 or more years ago, internal corporate power derived from role and hierarchy. That was the way that was sufficient to get most things done in most organizations. Now, that's because the hierarchy existed to apportion real power. But now, organizations have gotten much flatter, which has removed a great deal of role power from most jobs. Now, the structure requires us to build relationships in an effort to be more persuasive with other people. The power in your organization, which may used to have been one that existed with higher levels within the organization, now is within the individual's hands. You've got more, and we talk about this in another cast, the three types of power and one to rule, you have got the ability to build more relationship power every single day. And therefore, we recommend you do it with other people. You can do that. And the manager or executive without the right people in their network within our organizations is then without power. New flat structures put even more emphasis than on relationships, on your network. And if you're an executive or you're a manager and you don't have one, you're going to struggle to do effectively your job because it requires this type of influence. And this is the Career Tools audience. And we know you may just be starting your career. But again, if you're going to be successful in the future, when you are the manager or the executive, if you are going to be good at that job, you need to return to the previous guidance, the thing that Mark just said. You got to be the ant here, not the grasshopper. Maybe today you doesn't see all the value, but tomorrow you surely will miss you not having it.
The whole thing about not having a network, and then not having power when you're in transition always shocks people. And our podcast about the three types of power, when to rule them, about relationship power, I think people don't realize the number of executives who are able to be highly successful, not because they know things, but because they know people who know things. You're going to be faced with problems in your career that you don't know the answer to, even if it's in your specialty. And if you don't have 30 or 40 people you can text or email and say, hey, guys, hey, folks, I'm struggling with this. Anybody know anything? Anybody do anything? Can anybody help me? We had a situation recently where at our first effective executive conference, one of our executives is the chief executive of an alcohol production facility, corn alcohol production facility, producing pure alcohol for industrial and medical purposes and so on. And every once in a while, rarely, they have a taste or a smell problem. And he came to one of our cohort meetings and said, hey, I've got this problem, and I don't think any of you have faced it, but we don't know what to do, and we're all struggling, we're trying things, it's not working. And one of the other guys randomly said in the meeting, oh, I just met a guy at a corporate conference. He is a PhD in alcohol taste and smell. I'll ping him and you can talk to him. First of all, none of us even knew that people like that existed.
Is that a PhD? Is that a PhD level program? What is that?
And then I realized you should never assume there's not a PhD for
everything. Exactly.
For everything,
there is for everything.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's the value of a network. And another problem with building your network is you're going to have to talk to people outside your organization. And you would think, well, they're not going to help me right now. Nope, they're not. But you've got to know people outside your network. So that leads to our next point, which is the best networks are highly diversified.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, folks. The two principles below reinforce this. But for now, it's just important to recognize that your natural tendency over time will be to add more of the same type of people to your network. Because people are drawn to people like them. You may have heard this opposites attract thing.
Mm-mm. No, totally false.
I mean, sometimes people who are complete opposites do end up somehow in a relationship. But more often than not, you are surrounded by people like you. And this will make your network larger and less easy to manage, while also being less valuable simultaneously, because you won't have the diversity in roles or culture or background or industry skills and locations and all of the other things, like having a PhD in alcohol taste and smell at your fingertips, if you are constantly surrounding yourself with people like you. So you need to diversify. You need to move beyond what is comfortable and what is close to you. And I got to tell you, we wish we'd been good at building our networks from the moment we graduated. Like the moment we graduated. If you're in your early 20s today and you are listening to this podcast, we cannot tell you enough how important it will be to keep in touch with your today, but then what will be your former classmates. Keep in touch. Get people's contact information before you scattershot around the globe so that you have those relationships to come back to. We're all going to end up in different spots, and that connection today could be game-changing in the future.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, now you mentioned diversity is good. Well, there are two things that work against diversity to some degree. The first is the proximity principle. People who are close to you. It makes it easier to start, and that's fine. It's okay to start with people who are close to you physically, location-wise, and so on. But in the long run, it's going to make it your network less valuable and harder to win when you need your network to be beneficial to you. Basically, the proximity principle, should be obvious, says that you will tend to add people to your network who are physically closest to you, those whom you already see most frequently. People at work, at home, at church, soccer leagues, charities, whatever. And look, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? It's good to think of formalizing those relationships, at least in terms of how you think about it, not actually, hey, I'd like to take this to the next level with a fellow soccer dad. I mean, that's dumb. If you stay close to home only and you think, oh, I know a lot of people in my community, when a big layoff hits, right? Think about how layoffs do have community repercussions, or you have to move and start all over, or you get divorced, your network will be in a shambles right at the time you need it the most. So yes, stay in touch with, build relationships with people who are physically close to you, but recognize that's only one part of the bigger picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's also the similarity principle, which is a dangerous principle as well. And it's just the opposite of, again, the diversification concept that I mentioned. You're going to be naturally drawn to those people who are similar to you in experience and background and training and skills. And again, it's okay to add those people, but the real relationships to cultivate, the true gems to work at, are those who are distinct in many ways from you.
Absolutely. You want
people in your network that don't have those same skills, because for any number of reasons, if you want to make a job change, it would be nice to make a job change, you know?
And we don't have to tell you to know people like you or near you. You're going to do that naturally. That's the human condition. But the harder work and the better work is to connect with people who are different than you or far away from you or not aligned naturally with you. Next topic. We're going to oversimplify this a little bit because there's actually people who have PhDs in networks, believe it or not. There are a lot of ways to category networks. We actually use two, but there are 100 different ways to break down networks. And you could talk about race, religion, age, height, weight, physical location, employment, thousands of ways. But we want to give you a couple of ways to think about your network relative to how diverse it is. So first, your network should be robust around your present employer. So what that means is you should have both internal to your employer network members and external network members. In other words, when we talk about your organization, your employer, we mean both inside and outside. You can't just have inside people. Most people mistakenly think of networks as being external. Oh, I know people in my company, but people outside the company are my network. And that's wrong. Your network is both internal and external, because if you move, those people who you worked with, if they're not really in your network, they don't transport with you. And by that, I don't mean physically, but I mean you don't stay in touch with them when you go to another company.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And folks, the internal network piece is so underrated. We have two podcasts dedicated entirely
about how to do it and where to do it.
Internal networks, exactly. And building those networks. So yes, regardless of how you think about your network, we would recommend break it into three separate categories: task, career, and social. Now, task is what your specialty is. Career are those who can help you in advance, both because of senior roles or connecting roles and industry relationships. And then social is just what it says. It's basically your friends. It's your friends. Yeah, it's your friends. And it can help you to visualize it as a 3x2 matrix in an effort to evaluate how diverse your relationships are. So if you create a 3x2 matrix and you put all of the people into all of those categories, task, career, and social, you can see which is the bigger number. And for example, if your social category is massive and your task category only has one person in it, then you know where you need to grow. And again, there are many other ways to think about your network and the categories that they go into, and many are just fine. And that's just a good place, simple place to start when you're thinking about it.
I will say something. You know, there's a lot of discussion in the world today about, young people this and young people that and so on. Oh, they grew up with technology and so on. Folks, if you're younger, I'm older, I'm 65. I didn't have hardly any technology. Laptops weren't even a thing when I started my career. But I will tell you, a lot of older people my age and older and even younger than me will say things like, you guys aren't tough enough, you're not good enough. They're all full of crap. My experience with young people today is I'm pleased with the caliber of people that are coming into the world. And I believe that the way the history of humankind is, we are getting taller, richer, stronger, better in so many ways. It's because young people come along and refresh and come up with new ideas and work hard and so on. But in terms of networking, if you're younger, you have a potential weakness. Because those of us who didn't have all these tech tools knew to build a network, we had to work at it and call people on the phone and send letters and so on. We built up the muscle, even if we weren't very good at it. It would be very easy for you, those of you who are maybe, I don't know, 35 or whatever, and were enamored of Facebook, and now I guess it's TikTok and Instagram and so on. Fabulous technologies, but you have a feeling of thinking that everybody who connects with you is your friend. And you look at Facebook and the number of connections, or Instagram, the people that you're connected to or you follow, and you're like, wow, I have a lot of friends. Well, there's an old saying, a friend is someone who will help you move, move house. And those people are not necessarily your friends. And simply hearting their posts does not make you a connection. It doesn't mean they're part of your network. It will be easier for you to make them part of your network, but their name in your network list is not automatic.
Thanks, folks. Join us again next week as we continue this topic. Now, help us, help others, and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.